the best Ravens coverage. What time is that? It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, News from the Nest. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is over there. Other side of the glass, we were talking about John Harbaugh. Some of his comments yesterday as he met with the media after the 0-2 start, losing to Oakland, whatever the bleep they are, 26-23 on Sunday. But blowing leads, 10-point leads at that, has become somewhat problematic. And here's John Harbaugh explaining those unfortunate scenarios.
To make the plays that need to be made, I mean, you know, a ball needs to get batted down, a sack needs to be made, a quarterback needs to get tackled, a player needs to get covered. You know, a scramble drill, he needs to get plastered. Plays need to get made to get yourself off the field. Offenses don't take themselves off the field. You've got to get them off the field by the way you play, you know. And I just feel like we just need to do a better job of that. I mean, that's something that we can be, over the past 4 or 5 years, that's something that's been a difference. Now, the fact that you have so many leads in the fourth quarter probably lends itself to you're going to lose more leads than most teams. So I understand that part of it. But I also want to win those games. We all do, so... We just need to do a better job with that.
Sounded like he was throwing the old defense under the bus there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was disappointed in the defense, especially. Yeah, you know, I think the Bowers one where he caught the ball on the 2 yard line or whatever, Marcus Williams, you gotta be on that guy. And I mean, anytime they had one-on-one on the outsides, it was a completion. It was a complete, whether it was Humphrey or whether it was Stevens. Somebody's got to make a play. That's the thing. You want to stop that? Somebody got to make a play. Somebody just make a play. Or Zach Orr. Help make some plays for them. You know, put them. All right, let me ask you this, Bob. Okay, what you got to ask yourself if you're Zach Orr, am I asking these guys to do something they can't do? Can Marlon Humphrey cover Devontae Adams one-on-one? Can Stevens cover him one-on-one? No. No. And the problem with Stevens is, all right, I know Stevens. What are they doing? They're just throwing it up to him. Why? Because Stevens can't play the ball. All right? So I better help Stevens out because we're going to see that again and again and again. And they did. I mean, that's
your point,
the thing.
You don't see him, Stevens, that is, getting left 10 yards in the dust. He's in position to defend, but, you know, he's watching the ball kind of drop into the arms of the receiver there.
And Humphrey, you know, plays off, and he's not fast. He knows he's not a burner, you know, and they were just wearing them out. That's my issue. I don't know that Zach Orr really made any changes to change things up. All right, two guys are killing us. Fourth quarter. What are we going to do to take one of them away? They were giving them both.
Well, John Harbaugh taking some heat from you, the listener, about the challenges and his success rate not being all that great. And here's the coach elaborating on that one.
Yeah, I mean, you have your choice. Like, basically, you decide if you don't want to, like, if you want to have a winning percentage in challenges, just don't challenge stuff. Just let it go. If you miss a challenge, you know, if you have one that you should have challenged that you don't challenge, it doesn't get counted against your record. But I don't think that way. You know, I'm not worried about the record, you know, that someone might be printing about what your challenge record is. I'm trying to think about the opportunity in the game to see if we can have a chance to use the challenge to our advantage to try to win the game. So the first one, like I said yesterday, that's probably a situation where I don't mind taking a chance there on that one because Zay did have his hand under the ball, and maybe there's a chance that they'll turn that over. You know, I thought probably it was less than 50-50 when I saw it because I saw it. I looked at it. I saw it. I knew what happened right away. I thought, you know what, I don't mind a timeout right here. Let me see if we can get him to turn that one over because, you know, his hand was under the ball. You know, but I can see why they didn't overturn it.
The only thing I would say to that is listen to your people upstairs, number one. You know, and I didn't mind having a timeout right there. All right, but what you got to think about is that going to cost me at the end of a game or the end of a half? Because would I be wishing I had that timeout that I just gave away? That's the only thing. All right, if I take a chance here, you know, we're in a tight game. Do I need that timeout later? That's the only thing I would say.
Yeah, and, you know, again, we got to see it multiple different angles in much slower time than John Harbaugh did, because you're kind of under the gun.
Yeah, but the dude upstairs is seeing it same as we are.
Yeah, and that,
and so are all those other coaches upstairs.
Yeah, that ball had grass burns on it.
And it wasn't like, Bob, it was like they were running up there, you know. That was a slow play where there was plenty. John, we're not going to win. You know, you may think his hands underneath, but 100 out of 100, that's going to be called incomplete because the ball hit the ground.
5-8-8-1-0-5-7, the Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. News from the Nest. John Harbaugh talking to the media as he does every Monday. Subjects like his offensive line. Daniel Fa'alele, Kevin Ostreicher just roasted him about an hour or so ago. Vinny's not been a big fan, but how about Ben Cleveland taking over that one here, John?
If Ben had earned the job at right guard, he'd be the starting right guard. I mean, you look at the tape, you know, he didn't beat out Daniel or anybody. I think Ben's a good player. I like Ben. I want Ben to take the next step. You know, he's in what year is he in? Third year? Fourth year. You know, Ben knows what he needs to do. If he wants playing time, he knows how he needs to play, and he knows how he needs to practice when he gets that chance. Our evaluation right now is that Daniel outplayed Ben. Just fact, straight up. If we thought Ben had outplayed Daniel, he'd be the starting right guard. So if I see that Ben's playing better than Daniel, then Ben will be the starting right guard. You know, and he practices every day. So it's like, just to tell all the guys, I mean, show me. And that goes, we're talking about Ben because that's the question. I love Ben. And I think Ben can be a great player.
Entering his third or fourth year, whatever it might be.
But. And has never been, you know, he has a hard time starting. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, Cleveland, I just think he's non-athletic. I mean, just watching, you know, watching Fa'alele. And Cleveland's the same way. They can't move laterally. Like, you try to pull and a guy moves, you're done. And like the stunts and twists, he can't recover either. So if Fa'alele is struggling like he's playing and Cleveland can't beat him out, what are they saying?
Well, he loves him. I think we heard that about three times.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, he's a great dude, but I wish he'd practice better. He knows what he's got to do to play, and apparently he's not doing it. Or maybe he can't do it.
We're in his fourth year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Right? Now, Fa'alele, third year. Voorhees, essentially a rookie. They're at the guards, and, you know, they've taken their share of abuse on the field and off. And here's John Harbaugh talking about his two young players there.
Yeah, we're seeing progress. Big picture volume, it's not progress. It's measurable in a sense of you look at the thing and say, okay, overall it's getting better. It's progress in areas, and there's other areas that show up. And I think that's pretty normal for young players. So when you put a young group of guys out there, young players in any position, especially in the offensive line, there are going to be growing pains. There's no doubt about it. And I think we've got to continue to work as hard as we can to make as many good plays as we can. We've got a lot of good plays happening out there, but we're just too inconsistent. You know, and you talk about the offensive line, I think that's a fair evaluation, is inconsistent.
You know what the problem is with O-line is, and you got five of them, and four of them can do it right, and one can do it wrong, and it's a lost yardage play. Or your tight end and they're blocking. Like the one play where Crosby came slanting down inside and likely, you know, is over him, and all you got to do is cut him off. And you can't cut him off by not stepping with, he was on the right side. You got to step with your left foot, and you got to get your head across. If you don't get your head across, he's going right past you, and that's what he did, and it was a 2-yard loss.
I'm
just saying that was one guy doing it wrong, and everybody else. Otherwise, maybe he has a huge hole, but it takes five to do it correctly.
And finally, here's John Harbaugh talking about his team and how he and everyone in that building try to stay focused after an 0-2 start.
You go to work, you move forward, and you try to continue to improve. I know that. I've heard it said the NFL season is a race to become the best team that you can over the course of the long haul. And the race is a marathon, and we've got to continue to try to improve as much as we can every single day. And I think sometimes, you know, your improvement shows up, and sometimes it doesn't. And we had a disappointing game yesterday. We're not happy about it. We want to play better. We want to play winning football. We didn't.
Bob, you know what I hope happens? I hope with 7 minutes to go in the game in the fourth quarter against Dallas, they're up 10. Then you got to find a way to close. You know, because you, they're all going to be thinking it. You know, and all the coaches are going to be saying, let's close this one out. Let's finish this one out. You know, that's what they're going to say. And that would be a confidence builder for them.
It's 58-80-105-7. The Fan. Ravens 1-point favorites, at least early in the week, going to Dallas. 4:25 kickoff, AT&T Stadium this coming Sunday. Dallas got blown out at home by New Orleans. Ravens, as we've talked about, ad nauseum, 0-2. We'll come back. Let's count some dough. About a little buy or sell. Where's the money, man? Money always makes you feel better. And then Chris Boombacha, USA Today, talking about the NFL through 2 weeks. And then the American League East and Beyond report. Detroit Tigers. Who'd have thunk it? They're only a game and a half out of that last wild card. Orioles are back on the diamond tonight against the Giants. We got all that coming your way. Feed you some more Harbaugh with NFL Lunch coming up at 1. And how about the Feeble Five? Vinny gave his dirty dozen. 12 best teams in the NFL through 2 weeks, led by Kansas City, and rightfully so. Who are the 5 worst teams in the league? We'll talk about that around 1:15.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Baltimore baseball tonight back on the air at 5:30 this evening, live from Pickles Pub. Me and Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, Nolan McGraw. Come on down, say hello. If you've never been down, look for the big yellow bus. It's the Crush Bus. We're literally right next to it, and you'll see the big old canopy that says 105.7 The Fan, Baltimore baseball tonight. You can't miss us unless you're like me. You can only see out of one eye. But come on down, say hello. Don't come empty-handed. Ravens off today. Get ready for the Cowboys starting tomorrow. Terps got Villanova going to 3-1. Hopefully Maryland before the Big Ten really starts to percolate. So there's plenty to get to, but let's count some dough first by ourselves.
We're getting a little amount of money here. The Dow's up 55. The S&P's up 11. NASDAQ's up 75. DraftKings is up 50 cents, 38.72. Under Armour's down 9 cents, 7.35.
All right, we'll get started here with the Miami Dolphins. They don't know how long they're going to be without Tua Tagovailoa, but in the meantime, they are making efforts to add to their quarterback depth chart. Yesterday, they grabbed Tyler Huntley off the Ravens practice squad. He'll come in and join Skylar Thompson as the only healthy options for the immediate future there in Miami. Now, Thompson, he certainly gets the nod over Huntley for now. More knowledge of the playbook. A couple starts under his belt from a few years ago when Tua had the concussion issues in 2022. But Vinny, buy or sell, Huntley will leapfrog Thompson to start at some point while Tua is out.
I'll buy that. And if I'm a betting man, I'll bet you any amount of money that owner made a call to Tom Brady. I will bet you anything.
Back to that whole mess, the tampering allegations and all that.
Yes. They're both Michigan men.
Well, there you go. A little baseball news here. The Braves, they're trying to get as healthy as possible before October rolls around. They've dealt with more than their fair share of significant injuries throughout the season. Ozzie Albies, second baseman there, he's been out since late July with a fractured left wrist, but spoke recently about his intentions of returning to the lineup before the regular season is done. The only catch is he will not be able to continue switch hitting and would only be able to take hacks from the right side, which doing so doesn't bring him any discomfort. Batting lefty apparently does bother him with the wrist there. Buy or sell, Bob, it's not worth it to bring Albies back until he can switch hit.
I'm going to sell that because I hearken back to the days of 1997. Speaking of Mike Fortick, the Orioles wire to wire. Robbie Alomar had a shoulder problem, which prevented him from swinging from the, I believe, right side of the plate. And Jeff Revele, we get some starts there at second base as the Orioles made it to the ALCS. So if he can help them in some capacity, albeit Albies can only do it from one side of the plate, you take what you can from him. And we'll get to this in about 20 minutes, but they had a tough L last night, so they're on the outside looking into the playoffs right now.
More quarterback news here. Russell Wilson, we know he was named the Steelers starter prior to the season, but that calf injury has prevented him from seeing the field so far. Through 2 weeks, Justin Fields, he's done enough to keep the team in a winning position. No turnovers. Pretty efficient with his completion percentage, but not a lot of yardage or scoring out of him. Again, the results are a 2-0 record. They'll take that. Pittsburgh sitting on top of the division. This creates an interesting scenario for Mike Tomlin. Buy or sell, Vinny, when Wilson is healthy enough to return, the Steelers will still stick with Fields.
I'm going to sell it. Especially, the only way they stick with him is if the offensive production picks up a little bit. Otherwise, I think they give Fields a shot to see if they can do more offensively.
Moving over to the NBA here, I've got a NBA offseason coaching rankings for you here. These are courtesy of longtime NBA writer Sam Quinn. Might not come as much of a surprise, but he does have Eric Spoelstra ranked as the top dog for his consistency over the years. Meanwhile, Nick Nurse, Rick Carlisle, Steve Kerr, and Ty Lue round out the top five in that order. All the way down at number 14, middle of the pack, living legend Greg Popovich. And while Quinn does acknowledge here that Popovich, in his words, Quinn's words, the greatest basketball coach of all time, his recent track record not deserving of higher placement, Bob, are you buying or selling Coach Pop no longer top 10 in the current NBA landscape?
Yeah, I'll buy it. I mean, just look at their record. And, you know, players decide the outcome of the game most of the time, and, you know, coaches can only cost or win you games in a limited number of the contests, but they've been bad for a while. And they got a generational dude in Wembanyama that they're going to still try to build around. I think they get back into a playoff conversation this year, but has he lost some luster? Sure he has. I mean, hey, Don Shula stuck around too long. Tom Landry stuck around too long. Sometimes it just gets to you, and then the losses. Bill Belichick was run out of dodge, and all the greatness that he brought to New England and beyond. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and buy that. Does he have one more run left in him, though? I think that's another question we can get into.
And we'll close with this. The Rams, they're among the teams, a handful of teams, sitting at 0-2 to begin the season after having much higher expectations. To make matters worse, their wide receiver room, it's taken a big hit. The loss of Puka Nacua for at least 5 weeks. Now Cooper Kupp, he's banged up. Had a walking boot on after their loss to the Cardinals on Sunday. In the Sean McVay era, they've had just one losing season, a 5-12 mark after they won the Super Bowl a year prior. Injuries played a big part in that disappointing season a few years ago, but buy or sell, Vinny, the Rams will finish with a losing record for the second time in the McVay era.
I'll buy it. They're too beat up. Their offensive line, I think they're up without three starters offensively. Their two best receivers are out. I think that they're going to end. They got worn out by Arizona. I think San Fran will do the same thing this week. I just think that they're going to have a tough year.
Yeah, they're one of those teams. I don't have their schedule in front of me, but whatever primetime games they have, maybe in 3, 4, 5 weeks when they start flexing, might get flexed.
Bob, if I'm Greer, the GM at the Dolphins, I'd make a call to the Rams about Stafford.
They can only say no.
Right.
You know
what
I mean?
Exactly right.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, Chris Boombacha, USA Today. We'll talk about the NFL. 2 weeks in as the Ravens are winless and Minnesota and New Orleans are undefeated. What the hell's going on with that? American League East and Beyond report coming up. We mentioned what's going on in the wild card chase. Minnesota fading. Detroit's on fire. The Braves suffered a little. Well, they got blown out, but the Mets won, which is kind of why it's tough for them. And the Orioles trying to get on track. 3 games behind the Yankees. Only 12 left in the season. We'll get into all of that and more. And then more John Harbaugh coming up. NFL Lunch Style. Talk about the 5 worst teams in the NFL, Feeble 5 at 1:15, and Jerry Palm's going to be joining us. How about a little college football talk? Who are the Heisman favorites? Three weeks. Concluded the second week with Atlanta pulling the upset in Philly. Here to talk about that and more, let's welcome back to the show from USA Today. He's Chris Boombacha. Chris, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us in Baltimore again. How are you?
Good afternoon, fellas. I'm actually coming to you live from Philly. Right now, I was at the game last night. I have never heard Lincoln Financial Field as quiet as it was after Drake London caught that game-tying touchdown. What a scene it was.
Now, with Atlanta, the win, and we'll get to the particulars here in a second, they laid an egg in front of a bunch of Steelers fans, it sounds like, in their home opener in Atlanta week one. Cousins wasn't all that great. And we know the outcome. They got dominated. Was a stun level pretty high for you that when they fell behind, they were able to come back and pull it off? Because Kirk Cousins, we know he's capable of brilliant things, but other times he takes a lot of heat for being unable to win games of this nature here.
I'm not totally surprised. I think the Eagles defense still has some major issues to clean up, right? I mean, that was just way too easy for Kirk. The 6 plays, 70 yards, 65 seconds. Didn't even make him sweat. I talked to Jake Matthews, the left tackle, after the game, and he said it felt like practice. They were in rhythm, it felt like. And that's on defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. That's on the players for not taking care of their assignments and maybe being a little bit too deep in some of those early down situations. But I think, that Eagles defense is a mess. And credit to the Falcons for going out there and getting the job done, right? Not an easy place to do it, and they pulled it off.
Hey, Chris, what about Arizona Cardinals? They should be 2-0, but, then they had dominating performance, but they're scoring a lot of points.
I love this Cardinals team. They were my team when I was making my early season predictions. I said, I kind of want to figure out a way for the Cardinals to get a wild card spot, and I think it's a little overzealous. It's probably a year early for them, but a healthy Kyler, we look what he can do. I think James Conner is one of the more underrated players in this league with an unbelievable story. So all the success that he has is really cool to see. And I think that, they got some guys on the defensive side of the ball who could get it done. It's a really fun team. I like Jonathan Gannon as a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
His hire was a little bit, not as highly regarded as some others in his cycle. But I think that, he did a really good job in building the culture there quickly. And I think that I would not be surprised to see a Cardinals 7-8-9 win team this year.
How about Seattle? That was a good win for them going on the road and, beating New England, who had that victory. And, what's funny is the Ravens pass defense now is last in the league, and Mike McDonald, they're only giving up 128 yards passing a game.
Yeah, I mean, everybody in Baltimore knows what Mike McDonald can do, right? The genius that he brings to the defensive side of the ball. So I think that they haven't necessarily been tested yet against a very capable offense. Not to take too much away from Jacoby Brissett, but the story for the Seahawks with me is Geno Smith. The guy's been balling. He stands in the pocket, makes throws, delivers it. He's got some great options in DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And even when starting running back Kenneth Walker III goes out and misses the Patriots game, Zach Charbonnet is there to step up and provide some valuable runs that I believe he scored. So, Mike McDonald, 2-0. Good for Mike. Will be interesting to see how the NFC West shapes out now, because here we are singing the praises of the Cardinals and the Seahawks. And we haven't talked about the Rams, who have a ton of injury issues. We haven't talked about the 49ers, who have a few injury issues as well.
Now, Chris, how about the NFC South? You got shocking, at least in my mind, shocking New Orleans, Tampa, they go to Detroit and win that one. They're 2-0. And then Atlanta won the game you were at last night. You know, and then you've got Carolina that, you know, would probably have trouble with University of Texas.
Yeah, they're the White Sox in that division.
Oh, man, what a mess there in Carolina. But, yeah, no, it's cool to see. You got a couple of veteran QBs, a trio of veteran QBs playing up to their ceiling, right? And I didn't expect much from the NFC South this year. And they've been proving me wrong so far. I know it's still a small sample size. We always say after week one, I feel like, oh, it's just week one. And then week two, all of a sudden we're quick to jump to conclusions and stuff. So I say let's let the time tell. But I really like what the Saints are doing so far. Maybe Clint Kubiak's the real deal as the play caller there. And Dennis Allen made the hire of the offseason. We will see on that. But Alvin Kamara looks like the Alvin Kamara of old, right? And then can't help but be happy for Baker Mayfield, too, in my mind. Going to Tampa Bay, making the most of that situation. And again, you know, we kind of mentioned it with Geno earlier, but he's got two unbelievable weapons to throw to. Mike Evans is a future Hall of Famer, and Chris Godwin is a heck of a receiver in his own right, in my mind. So I think that, the success of those veteran QBs, we talked about Kirk earlier, that will be the engine that drives how far that division goes this year.
Hey, Chris, who do you think it's more important to win Sunday, the Cowboys or the Ravens?
Gotta be the Ravens. You gotta get into the W column. So I'm gonna stick with that right there. And you know what? Them leaving this game with a 1-2 record, which would mean that the Cowboys are 1-2. Who could have predicted that at the start of the season? I don't know many people who had that in the cards. So I think it's the Ravens who have the pressure. And I also think it's the Ravens who get it done.
Chris Boombacha joining us. We're talking about the NFL from USA Today. And last thing for you, Chris, as you mentioned, Arizona trying to figure out a way to get them into the playoffs prior to the season. Second year in a row, I'm all over Jacksonville. Second year in a row, it looks like they're not going to live up to my lofty expectations as they're 0-2. Only two games in, but is this a salvageable year? Year three of the Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence era, who had got their name in stadiums after all of a sudden.
Yeah, that one kind of backfired.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's like looks like a great marketing play. But even looking at the schedule, the Browns' defense is pretty good, so I don't know why they would pick that game to do this whole partnership thing that ended up being a disaster. But, yeah, I mean, I think Trevor Lawrence said in his post-game media availability, we suck right now. And he's right. That's kind of the state of the offense, and it's crazy to see because Doug Peterson's a Super Bowl-winning head coach who's known for his ability to get the most out of quarterbacks. The Eagles honored Nick Foles last night. Obviously, Dougie P was the head coach who was there for Foles' miraculous playoff run. But, yeah, bad times in Jacksonville. I mean, I like Trevor Lawrence. I think he can make all the throws, but, like, at what point does the year one Urban Meyer experience excuse run out for him? And then at what point does owner Sean Conn get impatient with Doug Peterson if the results aren't there? So, yeah, I don't know what's going on in Jacksonville.
Chris Boombacha, USA Today, talking NFL. Chris, as always, appreciate your time. Enjoy this NFL off day. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks as hopefully some things there'll be some clarity with some of these 0-2 teams, in particular the one here in Baltimore.
All right, appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Chris Boombacha, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. American League East Report and beyond. Get you caught up on the standings, the schedules, and the wild cards and all that good stuff. NFL Lunch, feed you some more Harbaugh. Whether you like it or not, we're going to shove it down your throat. It's coming your way. Feeble Five. We're the five worst teams in the National Football League. And we'll talk college football 3 weeks in with Jerry Palm from CBSSports.com. Last game they lose, 4-2. Adley Rutschman did hit a 2-run homer, but it was not enough. Orioles 1-for-8, runners in scoring position. We've talked about this many times, and I'll keep elaborating, because to me, and I'm just speaking for Bob Haney, the high watermark of the season was June 20th, when they blew out the Yankees 17-5 at Yankee Stadium.
Yep.
They were three games up, two games up, whatever it was, but they were 24 games above .500. And that was almost 3 months ago. Since that, injuries, a factor for sure. Austin Hayes went deep. He's not even on the team anymore. But since then, we're talking 76 games later, almost half a season, 35-41. That's not small sample size. That's kind of a half a season worth of below 500 baseball. 12 games left, trying to get it together. Orioles 84-66 on the year, 42-33. At home, Albert Suarez on the hill for the Orioles, who's been an unsung hero. If I still had an Oriole MVP vote, which for 2 years, I had it for like 12 years, they took it away from me, whoever they are. They. I don't know who they are, but they. It's Gunner, it's Taters, and I'd vote for Suarez, number three. Seriously, where would the rotation be without that dude? And briefly, where would the bullpen be?
Yeah.
Burns has been outstanding for the exception of August. But Albert Suarez, who's pitching tonight, has been huge for them. Even in games where he did not factor in the decision, he kept them in said games. And San Francisco is rather tepid offensively, so you would think that he's going to give them a quality start, which they've been stacking the rotation. But Albert Suarez, 8-5, 339. Then you have Blake Snell. Former Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah.
3-3, 352. This guy's a stud. Had a off season where he thought he was going to get a giant payday. Didn't happen. He was mentioned in trade talk during the trade deadline coming up almost 2 months ago. But he's got that player option that may have scared some teams off. So who knows what Blake Snell's off season will be like. But they're 72-78, 31-41 away from I'll call it Candlestick because I don't know. It's a corporate-sponsored stadium, but whatever. They used to play Candlestick. I don't know what it's called. But anyway, they're 10 games below 500 away from there. So that's your matchup today. BBT, Salvo Auto Parts, Pickles Pub, me and Bordy, Nolan McGraw, brought to you by Salvo. Come down and say hello. 5:30, getting you ready for the game at 6:35. But last night there was some action in Major League Baseball outside the division because now we're down to 2 weeks. And it's all about wild card division supremacy, like Cleveland trying to win the Central, Minnesota trying to maintain a wild card spot. And in the end, it was all about the Guardians late.
High fly ball, deep right field. Walner's back. He's out of room. It's out of here. Kyle Manzardo with a game-changing blast. Has put the Guardians in front 4-3.
And that would be the final score. Manzardo, there's Bally Sports on the call, 2-run jack. So Cleveland inching closer to clinching the AL Central. Detroit, we just saw them take 2 out of 3 from the Orioles. As a matter of fact, they're going to be here this weekend for the final home series of the year, taking on the Royals, who are, well, I guess they're running out of time to catch Cleveland. Right now, Kansas City trying to chase the Orioles in Detroit. They're trying to get into the playoffs, and last night helped their cause as they win 7-6. San Diego hosted Houston. Now, the Astros trying to hold off Seattle out west in the American League. Padres are going to make the playoffs. And they're still sniffing down the L.A.'s neck, but a local kid, he did them a solid last night in San Diego.
Deep center field, Jackson Merrill back at the wall, gone! 24th home run of the year for Jackson Merrill. Padres take a 2-0 lead.
MLB TV 3-1 was the final score. Padres over the Astros. Jackson Merrill, as you heard, is 24th homer of the season. Mike Schilt and your boy Murph got to be the front runners for manager of the year in the National League, I would think.
I would imagine... Yeah, Murph. Murph should get it. I mean, they're going to win the division, or they've won the division.
Well, so, pretty much.
Yeah.
But, you know, Schilt, remember San Diego was a disaster last year.
Yeah.
With Bob Melvin, now the manager of the Giants, former Oriole, by the way. So he's got to get some consideration. Maybe we go to the Mets, too, because they, holding off the Braves, they did some walk-off stuff to the Nats.
And he drives with a left, and the Mets win the ball game. Comes in with the winning run. Starling Marte with a second opportunity drives in the game winner in the 10th, and the Mets win 2-1.
SNY on the call. Starling Marte, as you heard, game winning hit 10th inning as they edge the Nats. Carlos Mendoza could get some consideration there because they've had a ton of injuries with the Mets.
And Bob, they were down and out early, you know. And yeah, I tell you what,
he'd have a pretty good chance. Those are three really good candidates in the NL.
And also National League, as the Mets win, Braves lose 9-0 to the Dodgers. Freddie Freeman, three-run homer, making that one happen for L.A. Standings, American League East and beyond division. Yankees 3 up on the Orioles. Cleveland's now 5 up on Kansas City. Houston 4 up on Seattle. Phillies 8 up on the Mets. Milwaukee's 10 up on the Cubs. I guess we're already in magic number territory there. And then the Dodgers 3.5 up on the Padres out west. Wild cards, if the playoffs started today, which they don't, Orioles and Royals would face off at Camden Yards. Minnesota would take on the Astros. But right now, Detroit's a game and a half out. Seattle's only 2 out of the wild card, as they won 3 in a row, 7 of 10. Boston fading a little bit down the stretch. National League, Padres, Diamondbacks, Mets are in. Braves are a game back, and that's kind of all she wrote with that one. Yankees, by the way, in Seattle, taking on the Mariners. So if the Orioles look to catch New York in the division, well, you got to handle your business against the Giants and hope the Mariners can do you some solids out there in the great Northwest. That's your MLB report here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. When we come back, how about some NFL lunch? More Hardball. If you didn't get enough, you're getting some more. We're going to feed you. We're going to feed you some football talk and also talk about the standings and the schedule coming up for week 3. Feeble 5, who are the 5 worst teams in the NFL? You'll find out at 1:15 as Vinny sees it through the first 2 weeks. And we'll talk college football. How about Jerry Palm? CBSSports.com are 3 weeks in. Florida State's 0-3. And according to Norville, you would have thought they were playing the 72 Oklahoma, you know, the 80-whatever Nebraska Cornhuskers. Hey, when you play a monster schedule, you're 0-3. That's what he said.
Yeah, well, Memphis, they paid $1.5 million to come and, you know, get slaughtered there, and Memphis ended up winning.
Yeah, so Florida State, disappointing team, but there's a new number one. It's Texas, but yours is hurt. How long is he going to be out? We'll talk to Jerry about that. 1:30. Vinny, Eddie, Nolan, Turn It Up Tuesday, 105.7 The Fan.